Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies. Hunter Biden's defense attorney, Abby Lowell, weaponizes letters to Congress to try to smear my name.
Mr. Chairman.
The cold hard facts.
Mr. Chairman.
In an attempt to save his powerfully connected client and his father. I challenge Mr. Lowell to make those claims on national television so he can be held accountable for his lies. Prior to my successful business career, I was an officer in the United States Navy. At Navy's elite Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, I later served as the command's chief technology officer.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the...
Okay. Am I supposed to say it's my time, Mr. Raskin?
Yeah. But please, Mr. Bobulinski, please.
Okay.
Come to order. Mr. Bobulinski, please proceed.
Okay.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the minority.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, save his time, but he called members of this committee liars, and I just want to know whether the order and decorum requirements of House Rule 11 apply to witnesses appearing before the committee. Does it apply or does it not?
Should I address? I don't.
There's decorum from the members. We've asked for that. There's no language that I'm aware of pertaining to a witness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Make sure we didn't waste any of his time on the opening statement. Mr. Bobulinski, I'm sorry for the disruption. Please continue your opening statement.
I think Mr. Raskin, used.
We'll make sure it's right.
Great. I just want to restate, make sure the American people hear all these facts. Abby.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the show. Wayne Dupree here, host of the Wayne Dupree Podcast. It is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024, and we are live. Those numbers going up already. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you. I was talking with Drew Berquist of Rare Voice Media yesterday. We were talking about the changes in Twitter. It's looking like Twitter is starting to do something with the video side. So, and honestly, thank you very much. Let me bring on the godfather of conservative radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Thanks, Wayne and Jason. Things are looking up a little bit sometimes, and then something happens and they start going back down, and then they start going back up. But we'll ride the wave.
Yeah, we're riding like a Friday prostitute. let me also introduce the imam of Minnesota, Mr. J. Rob, Mr. Jason Robinson.
Hey, happy hump day, everybody. You know, it's funny, as you look at the reach, for all the great reach we're getting on Twitter, Facebook is the exact opposite. And we'll have our Facebook peeps starting to chime in, but it's like, On Wayne's Facebook page that always has, 100 or whatever, 200 viewers, we're showing two. So, folks, make sure if you're watching on
Holy
Facebook,
crap.
Hit a Look share. It's Facebook's being kind of wonky today. Wild, huh, Wayne?
Between three Facebook pages, only two viewers.
Right. And all three of those pages are a million follower pages.
Oh, my God.
Did you update that thing?
Yeah, I updated the thing.
Yeah, I updated it. You know what? That was probably in the update. Because Facebook, Meta, themselves, they're getting rid of the news thing. So they aren't really, they aren't pushing news anymore. They're not doing it. I've gone to memes now as pictures instead of just links. You know, I just put I just put the picture up there and put the link in the picture. Let's see. Go for it.
Yeah, even if you upload like videos native on Facebook, like their reach is
nothing.
Garbage right now.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. Yeah. I looked at, you know what? It's funny you say that because for the last 14 days, I've just been uploading videos. I didn't go look to see if I was making anything. I was just I was just uploading it, at least 4 videos a day, at whatever times. Last night I went to go look. It's $50. $50. I was like, I forget that. The wave. Ain't riding that no more. Listen, two main things I want to talk about. And then I want to find out what my boys are talking about too. If you're watching the show, make sure that you are sharing it wherever you are. Getter, you have not been forgotten. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for sharing. For our friends and our adopted family members in Australia and China. Africa, those outside, the UK, I don't want to forget the UK. For those of you that are watching the show, you are, we hold you in our bosom. We really thank you from the bottom of our hearts for watching and being loyal viewers for a long time. Especially the ones in the UK and Australia, they've been watching for a long time. I remember when they used to call in on the show. We get calls from England and South Africa. And I'm like, where are you again? Ghana. What? You watching the show in Ghana? Really? Okay. All right. You know, but two things I want to talk about. First thing is, let me download this voicemail. I think this voicemail was for me. Well, actually, this voicemail was for the show. This voicemail was for the show. We saw that there's an anti-Trump group that's out there. There's a report. I don't know whether y'all saw it or not. Mm-hmm. But the anti-Trump group is looking to spend $50 million against Donald Trump. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, because Donald Trump is just trying to fix things. That's it. That's all. And the reason why I said, just give him another chance. Just give him another chance. Let him try. Everybody else that is up there, they don't try. He wants to try. Let him try. You know, y'all spending all this money. Y'all wasting all your time. While the country is going to hell, y'all spending millions and getting your friends overseas to do it, and you're doing all this stuff, and the country's going to hell while you're doing it. The border's getting worse, food prices getting worse, gas prices getting worse, and all y'all are worried about is taking down Donald Trump. And you're doing it from a union party type of way with the media included and your little paid imps that are on social media. This is Vancouver calling in.
Gentlemen, so you're setting up a false narrative already this morning in your show. It says Donald Trump, they're spending billions to stop Donald Trump. Guess what? That's a false narrative. You're lying. He's a criminal. Nobody's doing these
trials.
It's not Biden running things. There's no deep state. You guys have made up these stories that are so bad. It's ridiculous. You have to stop it. Donald Trump is a criminal. He raped somebody. He stole documents. He wouldn't give them back. He faked elector scheme. He is an insurrectionist. He is a criminal. He keeps doing crimes.
Carl, that's why you got banned from Facebook. Right? If anybody's lying, it's you. Right? The finger that you're pointing at us, the other four pointing right back at you. Okay. I don't even know how you sleep with that mess. But there is a group, there's an anti-Trump group that's spending over $50 million. And if you add up the value of everything that they have done court-wise, I don't know how much money it costs to send those FBI agents down to Mar-a-Lago.
A lot.
But if you add up everything, you're into the billions, man. So whatever is happening up there in Canada with your communist dictator, maybe you should take care of that. We try to give you the benefit of the doubt of the calling in and stuff. And I mean, if my boys want to hear from you again, I'll play it. But you have to have some respect for the truth instead of just passing over what you want to throw out for your agenda. President Trump, the people going after President Trump, and you know them. You know these people because you just quoted out some of this stuff. They are going after him to stop him from being president of the United States again. Okay. Now, if you don't want to ride the wave, then get the hell off the boat. Go ahead.
I think Carl ought to go to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and turn in his guns.
That's what
you should do. He probably doesn't have any, but
yeah.
I mean, you're talking nuts. The thing is, what they're going to do with this $50 million is they're going to get Republicans, rhinos, to come out and say why you can't vote against, you can't vote for President Trump, why they're not voting for President Trump. So everybody that you see out there on any of these commercials that come out, understand that in order for President Trump to fix America, you got to break the people that are coming on those ads because they're the ones that they're in on it. It's the only reason they don't want Trump. They don't care about the country. He's upsetting their apple cart, their personal apple cart. Or they have things, they're deviants. They've got things against them on film. I mean, it is what it is. And he's coming hard, isn't he?
Well, here's the thing. First, to understand what's happened to Carl and how his brain got broken is he consumes this leftist propaganda like Occupy Democrats or the Midas Touch or that Trump bloodbath thing got started by a Twitter account, ACYN, I think it's part of the Midas Touch network. So all these leftist organizations get to say whatever they want without being fact-checked. And they get to say things like Trump said it's a bloodbath, which wasn't what he said. He said the auto industry would be a bloodbath. But guys like Carl don't read through that. So he called President Trump a criminal. President Trump has not been convicted of a single crime. He called him an insurrectionist. He has not been even accused or charged by a law enforcement agency of insurrection.
And none of that get convicted,
but none of those facts matter.
Even if he did get convicted, look at the kangaroo court, Jay. It's not even legitimate.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and some of these guys, I mean, I make the point, President Trump has more criminal charges against him than all of the politicians in D.C. combined over the last 20 years. Add up all the criminal, and you're telling me every single politician in the House and Senate and White House has committed less crimes than Donald Trump. You can't even, it's funny, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I say, you know, it's like when we were watching baseball and you saw Bonds and McGuire and Sosa hitting like 80 home runs.
Yeah.
And anybody with a functioning brain cell could look at that and go, okay, 2 years ago, you led the league with 40 home runs. And now you all of a sudden hit 100 home runs. Completely normal. Nothing to see here.
Your arms are as big as telephone poles.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like real
your
life.
Face don't even look the same.
Right, real life, right. Popeyes, man. Real life.
And like anybody with the brain would go, I don't, and you might not even know what happened. You might not have understood, but you would have known this was screwed up.
Hey, Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron's going, oh, hells no.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but guys like Carl are like, oh, he's a criminal.
Remember that? Right. Hank Aaron was like, no, no, this don't count.
Right.
He's sitting in the stands going.
Yeah. Guy walks out like, you know, barely swings a bat. The ball goes 500 yards. And they're like, oh, yeah, perfectly normal. Nothing to see.
You got
to
admit.
It's all on the level.
You got to admit it was fun, though. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
That was a fun time. Yeah, it's like every day you were looking at St. Louis, Chicago to see if Sosa hit one or if McGuire hit three.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like, man, this is really
funny. When it was happening, I'm like, A, they probably juiced the ball for ratings, and B, they certainly juiced themselves. Like, look at their head. It's like a football helmet now.
Yeah, and I remember, later, yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to my friends, and they're like, no, it's all clean. It's all on the level. And I'm like, are you a moron?
See, we had Bonds when he was a rookie. I seen him when he was human.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very talented player. I mean,
yeah, so was his dad. His dad was, too.
Yeah,
I mean, he was
Bobby
good.
Bonds.
Right.
But he was off the scales when he went to San Francisco. Yeah, I mean, he was hitting them damn near to Russia. You know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Is he still alive?
Yeah. They had a camera not in the stadium. They hit it outside the stadium into the ocean looking. Right. Every time he hit a home run.
They had dudes in kayaks out there waiting for him to hit it, you know?
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, my point to that is at some point you just look at something that just looks completely, utterly ridiculous. And you may not know exactly why it's ridiculous, but you should be able to say, yeah, this is really stupid. Donald Trump, 91 felony charges. I think he's down to 88 now. Like, that's not normal.
I saw this headline. It said thousands of prison time for a 6-hour delay of Congress.
Right.
You think about that. How many? And they're still talking about locking more people up and putting more time on them.
Well, and Julie Kelly covered this morning. So the reason all these January 6 folks are in jail is for a violation of Sarbanes-Oxley 1512. Because like assaulting a police officer or trespassing, you can't hold people in jail that long. And the Supreme Court's reviewing one of the cases, and they're probably going to reverse it because this law shouldn't be used for this. Yeah. But the DOJ came out and sent a letter saying to all the defendants and said, if you guys are going to appeal when this gets overturned, we're going to seek additional jail time on all of your other charges. So we convict you of this. We put you in jail for 3 years for this law. The Supreme Court says, yeah, that law shouldn't have been used like that. The prosecution doesn't take a knee and doesn't say, okay, let's let these folks out. They come back and double down, and they're going to go after you harder.
Yeah. And Jay said they're probably going reverse. Let's say this, because I don't trust the Supreme Court, period. I don't. Even though yesterday we came on, and I know what I read, they were halting Texas from doing what they were supposed to do. Then late yesterday afternoon, then he said, well, go ahead and do it. You can go ahead and do it. And then, but then last night,
got re-reversed.
A federal judge came in and said, no. And I'm like, they did the same thing in California with the gay marriage thing.
Yep.
They did the same thing because the people of California said no. They took it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said yes. Or they gave it back to no.
The Ninth
Circuit. They overturned. They right. And it's like, wait, that's the first time I had ever saw
that was like unconstitutional.
The Supreme Court getting overruled. Right. I had never seen that before. I always thought this everything finishes at the Supreme Court. That's what I thought. And last night they did it again. I was like, they can't do it. I mean, why even have a Supreme Court if you're going to come right behind them and say, oh, the Supreme Court got it wrong?
Well,
they aren't Supreme anymore.
I got to say, the reason I think they're going to reverse this 1512 ruling is, and it's probably going to be like 6-3, 5-4, is because they're predicating that any interruption of a government proceeding results in criminal charges up to 20 years in jail. And they have a huge problem if you're going to do that. A, the law wasn't written to do that. And the law was when you were hampering investigations, not like a legal proceeding. But B, you would open the door. Let's say Trump wins. Some leftist going to do like the Kavanaugh protest. You could arrest all those guys and throw them in jail if the Supreme Court rules that that's a valid use of that.
Right. No. I mean, I get where you're going. I just don't trust the Supreme Court anymore.
Right.
I don't trust them, period. And I, especially what they did to that New Mexico city council member. And that right there is something that is passing over everybody's head. Nobody's really, unless you really knew the story or seen the story, most people don't even know.
The same way with the trans case.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, I mean, my goodness.
In Virginia, right?
I don't know where it is. I saw an article about it, though, about
they aren't stopping.
Yeah, they wouldn't hear the case.
Yeah.
The government took their child from them because they didn't want to give them hormones. A boy.
No. There was another one where they didn't hear the case just stop transit boys, dressed up boys, whatever, going into females' bathrooms. They didn't stop that.
Oh, the Supreme Court's not going to touch a tranny bill for next 5-10 years.
Still, I mean, the Constitution doesn't talk about a trans, does it? I know the Bible doesn't, but
they never heard of it. But they were,
yeah.
Well, and this will be an interesting twist too, because like that dude that we removed from the ballot, I went and read the ruling. They just said it's up to the states. So the Supreme Court's taken several positions. That was the Roe versus Wade overturn, is they said this isn't a federal thing, go to the states. So you may see the Supreme Court just pushing more things to the states. Now, if your state's crazy like Minnesota, you're screwed, because then that means there's no one to appeal to. And I think on some of those cases about the transgenders, that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, this is a state issue, not a federal issue.
They're going to mess around and split this country up.
They are.
Well, they've already got a head start.
It's not just here either.
No.
It's all over the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That Neil Oliver did a hell of a thing, man. It's all over. It's he says there's a storm coming. You know, I mean, these people all over the country, all over the world, are tired of this global tyranny. And you know, he really put it
from the United States.
Neil Oliver, I think he's from Scotland. Just all over.
Okay.
Yeah, the Scotland guy, he just resigned this morning.
No, that was the Irish guy.
Or the Irish guy, yeah.
This guy's a commentator from Scotland that does videos every week or two. And he says, basically, this all started by COVID.
Yep.
COVID, and then they started attacking the World Economic Forum, started attacking all the farmers in Europe. And we showed the clips of them spraying the fecal matter everywhere. Net zero, 15-minute cities. Something's getting ready to happen, I think. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's necessary.
Well, and it's funny, too, because it's all happening in real time.
Yeah.
And all the stuff they called you a conspiracy theorist for, you know, like in Maui, the Maui fires we touched on the show, really weird scenarios. And now they're advertising a bunch of that property is getting bought up by like BlackRock or whatever big investment firms. And they're already releasing public stuff saying, we're going to build a 15-minute city. This is great. So you've got this weird fire that happened. And then the 15-minute cities that we were told were conspiracy theories, they're going to try to build one.
It's great. You know, you look at the collapse with the immigration invasion. You know, when illegal gets to California, they're eligible for insurance. Yep. Once they get accepted, your packet is mailed with a voter registration card. In another envelope is a pre-filled application for food stamps that's titled Great News with another voter registration card. They're setting us up. We don't have much time to act.
You know, my boys talk about Barack Obama running things and sometimes I say stuff and sometimes I don't, you know, I'll pull back and I'll let him have it. But I was watching, something early this morning. Oh yeah, I was up early. And you know how we talk about the deep state, another government type that's running our government, that's in charge of our government.
Oh, yeah.
One of the main reasons why I don't believe Barack Obama, I believe he's a tool.
Definitely.
But this is Wayne Dupree right now. I believe that he's a tool. I don't believe he's running things. And I think it might have been confirmed with what I heard about BlackRock. You have to have money and power to run things. You got to be in charge. I mean, that puts you in charge. If you don't have money,
you need somebody else with money.
And then you become the stooge or puppeteer that they want you to become. I didn't know BlackRock and another company was basically damn near everywhere in this entire world. I did not know that.
Own almost everything. All the financials. Yeah. Yep.
I did not know that. The guy in charge of Larry Fink. I was watching somebody talk about BlackRock this morning, and they said, do you want to know who the president of the country is? Is Larry Fink. To have that amount of power. And then I had to go and check because we had the NFSC on and, you know, to talk about China stuff. They also built up China's military. BlackRock built up China's military. You know, and I thought more into it, and it hurts, man. It hurts that this is where we are, and I'm not throwing out it. It's not a conspiracy. BlackRock. Okay, let me finish this. Nobody talks about it. You might do it in passing. We bring up BlackRock here on the show, we really don't get into it. But everybody else, they don't talk about BlackRock. They don't really get into it. The reason why I said it, Texas just stopped an $8.5 billion contract with BlackRock, which is crazy, but they did it. We're going to the schools. Because the schools didn't want to do fossil fuels. Yeah. Over fossil fuel policy, but 8.5 billion, but it makes sense. And that's what I've always said in my mind. We all knew somebody was in charge. I just felt it was overseas. BlackRock is overseas. It's everywhere. And the amount of power that they wield, BlackRock even helped China get on Wall Street.
This is what Neil Oliver is talking about, man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what he's talking about. People are getting tired of this. You know, this is why companies do stupid things, because they get their money from them.
Yep.
It's the only way to borrow money. They'll debank you in a heartbeat.
Fast.
Well, and it's interesting too, because we know there's powers behind the scenes that are running things. And, you know, you can speculate or opine who it is, but it's safe to assume it's these rich corporations, you know, those folks.
Globalist.
They're above the law. They're multinational corporations. They're the ones bribing the politicians. You bribe the politicians, you control things. And there's several Larry Finks, you know. I mean, if you go into the entertainment industry, if you go into the pharmaceutical industry, and all of it's designed to screw over the working class,
mm-hmm.
regardless of red or blue or whatever you identify as. They're continue to build economic. Like, they're screwing over the people, and they just get us to fight each other.
And short of short of putting money under the mattress or buying gold or some ridiculous thing like that, they get it to where you're forced. My retirement, I've known about BlackRock for a long time. And I know that they're globalists, and I know they invest in the CCP. And I also know my retirement fund's in it. And you can't get out. I went to my bank and said, I don't want any of my money in China. And they say, well, this international fund has to be part of the... It's like a big trap.
You can't.
Say again?
I say you can't get your money out of China because all this money right. rolled up.
I thought you said you can. I was going to be like, how?
No, the only thing you can do is cash it out and put it into gold, silver, and gambling.
Then I'll get robbed.
And then get robbed.
Yeah. It's like, I got this bar of silver. Can you make change?
Right.
Yeah. I kind of heard it.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Okay. So we went through a deal. I'm like, let me see if these guys, ESG, Larry Fink, Vanguard, State Street, if they have any influence on military contract, defense contract. If you Google the largest shareholder for Raytheon, three out of the four top shareholders of Raytheon, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. It could be top three with Raytheon, but I think it's three out of four. If you go look up General Dynamics, if you go look up Boeing, if you go look up, you know, Northrop Grumman, okay? And then you work backwards and you say, okay, how much money is that in what these guys are doing? You'll find the amount of money we spent in our military, $744 billion, on how much we're making from defense, but you'll see some numbers saying last year it's 13% of our GDP, which is around $850 billion. That's more than the next 10 combined. We gave more money to Ukraine than Russia spent on their military last year. Mm. And when you look at these contracts, then you're like, okay, Fink is there. These guys are there. Like, okay, let's go look at Hollywood. Same thing you see there. Let's go look at pharmaceutical. Let's go look at this. And you're like, wait a minute. These guys essentially have a monopoly. Well, how big is BlackRock? $10 trillion. How big is $10 trillion? Only two countries have a bigger GDP than what BlackRock has, assets under management, U.S. and China. That's how big BlackRock is. So then they went and they started getting all these other guys to sign on and say, hey, we want you to participate with the same thing as what with ESG. And they ended up having, I think they had 31 signers. I think end of 2022, they got 60 something signers for a total of $70 trillion of assets under management that they're controlling. So now they're controlling other places. And just recently, if you saw the rebuilding of Ukraine, did you see this contract? Yeah. Rebuilding of Ukraine, $400 billion contract. BlackRock and Chase is helping rebuild Ukraine. And then, you know, okay, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but what the hell is going on here? They have that much control to get everybody to do what they want them to do? Yes. Yep. So Dylan Mulvaney, who cares? Why? Bud Light. How does that tie up? You got the DEI, the HRC, the human rights, and all this stuff. And then you go even deeper, which is even the crazier part, with, you know, the education, schools, like, you know, the biggest union we have in America, I think it's National Education something. NEA is the largest union we have. 3 million teachers are part of that union. And you look at that and you go deeper in that with Open Society and who's funding it, who's the money behind these organizations, comes back. Soros, Soros, Soros. How do you feel about the kind of power they have right now to fight against them? Because this isn't like a billionaire can come out and say, I'm going to go up against these guys. They don't have a little bit of money. A billionaire to these guys is nothing. They got the kind of control that can make companies fire boards. They can replace CEOs. They can replace leaders if they don't like. They have their hands so much into it where many times when people say the people of power, I'm kind of like, who are the people of power? Are you convinced these guys are really running the world? Or what do you think about what some of these bigger companies are doing, like State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock?
Well, they certainly have massive.
That's more of what I was watching this morning. But, yeah.
That guy does a heck of an interview. Patrick Bet-David.
Yeah.
I like him.
He was elite. He fled from Iran during the Islamic Revolution.
Did he? He
came here and he served in the 101st Airborne.
I like when he said, you want to know who the president of the United States is? It's BlackRock. And that's what caught me. And then to hear some of the other stuff, and I'm like, how? And like you said, you've known, maybe not to the larger extent, but you've known. I didn't know that. I kept hearing them here and there. You know, like we hear Pfizer and stuff like that. I've heard about BlackRock, but I didn't know. I mean, because they don't do commercials like Pfizer.
No, they're under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They control, you know, a huge percentage of the world's money.
Right.
I'm not sure what the percentage is. I'm not a financial guy, but I know what time it is.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. If you track back the money and keep going up and up and up, I mean, you're going to find there's like 20, 30 companies that really control world affairs. You know, and like we talk about Pfizer, they have worldwide reach. They control legislation. They control politicians all around the world. I mean,
you know, I was thinking about that too. The shame of that with the pharmacy industry, mm-hmm. they've created so many good drugs. You know, I was thinking this the other day because I take two of them that without them, my blood pressure, I'd probably be dead by now. My blood pressure would have been through the roof. And the other one is it controls acid from going into my throat from my stomach. You know, and I've been taking them for a long time, and thank goodness for them. It changed my life. I mean, acid hurts, man, if yep. anybody's ever experienced it. And it makes your voice like mine. You know, so
that's cool voice.
I was going to say, I got to get some of that acid.
It's a cool voice, though, yeah.
I want to get the Hutch voice. I love that voice.
Wayne used to make fun of me.
I did. I was like, growing up, I used to be a mimicker. I used to watch cartoons and people in my church and stuff. And I mean, I can even sound, I mean, my cat looks crazy at me because I sound like her throwing her own sound back at her, you know? So Hutch had been on for like a couple of shows. And the next thing, I mean, it's that, I mean, I just got, man, it's just a cool voice. I'm like, and then we have Hutch Bailey Jr.
I think I was worse before.
See, well, I don't know.
See, nowadays, Wayne, making fun of Hutch for his voice because of a medical condition, they'd call you ableist. You'd be awful. Why are you making fun of somebody's disability?
Here they come with these new words again.
Right. Well, and it's really remarkable, too, when you follow some of this money around, like Reid Hoffman, we've mentioned before on the show. He's the guy behind all this Jeannie Carroll stuff. I think the dude's worth like $3, $4 billion. He was an investor in a bunch of tech stuff. Now he's become like a mini George Soros. He was behind the funding to change the laws in New York City to allow people to charge folks civilly and extend the statute of limitations. And then he's funded the lawsuit for Jeannie Carroll. And now he also does political donations to Nikki Haley. So, I mean, it all just connects. And you hate to be conspiratorial, but sometimes 1 + 1 really is 2, or 2 + 2.
I just wish that the Democrats were smart enough to, you know, you hear Carl up there or whatever his name is talking. And our Democrats are the same way. It's like, hey, guys, this isn't any better for you than it is for us.
Right.
Ask Eric Adams.
Yeah. Clay Higgins, a friend of ours, got to get him on the show, was just interviewing Tony Bobulinski on Capitol Hill. So, you know, we got to hear what he had to say.
Chair now recognizes Mr. Higgins from Louisiana for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bobulinski, thank you for being here today. And we appreciate the candor of your responses, sir, which is reflective of the way you handled yourself in private testimony and deposition. So I thank you for communicating truthfully to the American people today. I'm going to ask you about the China Energy Fund Committee, the CEFC, You familiar with that, sir?
I am.
Was this a multi-billion dollar company, like a Fortune 500 company at one time?
It's even bigger than that. If you go back and look at its financials in 2016 and 17, it was probably one of the five largest private companies in China.
So exactly. So this was a major operation that had a lot of money. And apparently, I'm going to hold up a memo here from this is a chart from the second bank memo, and it shows disbursement of a total of almost $24 million for diamonds. So you have a major Chinese company spending a lot of money on diamonds, and apparently diamonds were used as a means of payment for the Biden family. We know that the Bidens have testified that admitted to having two diamonds. We suspect that there are many, many more, $23 million worth of diamonds. Are you familiar with the exchange of valuable assets to pay the Bidens other than electronic transfers of monies? Are you aware of payments in diamonds, payment in cash, payment in board memberships, et cetera?
Am I generally aware of it,
yes,
or was
sir.
I involved? Yeah, I read Jim Biden's and Hunter Biden's transcript multiple times. Jim Biden in that transcript references two diamonds that were given to Hunter Biden. One, he implies, was in 2015 by an individual.
Look here, I have one right here.
His name, but the individual's name is Scott O, who was a surrogate for CFC. And then apparently a second diamond was given at a meeting in Miami. And I really want to set the record clear. I was not at that physical meeting. I was in Miami, but I was not at that physical meeting. That's what I told the FBI in my transcript interview.
Are you aware, Mr. Bobulinski, of a pattern of bribery, of bribe payments coming from the China Energy Fund Committee?
I appreciate that question. I wish everyone on this committee would read the 1,200 pages of testimony in an 8-day trial in the SDNY where Mr. Goldman used to work while the actual trial was going on, that accused numerous executives, ultimately Patrick Ho, of corruption, bribing, leaving shoeboxes
exactly.
of cash to a variety of political figures in Africa.
Exactly. So, Mr. Bobulinski, from your
that's where diamonds come from.
Within the Biden family operations and their interactions with major businesses in China and the exchange of millions of dollars that are known, we've tracked them through bank records, through suspicious activity reports, through emails, through communications that this committee has documented. There's no debate that millions and millions of dollars flowed into the Biden family's bank accounts, but the existence of other forms of payment is fascinating because diamonds are untraceable. We really don't know how many diamonds the Bidens received, do we?
We don't. And for somebody who's been to mainland China probably 10 plus times, Hong Kong probably 15 plus times,
yeah,
I had hundreds of people, Congressman, I had hundreds of people working for me in mainland China. At one point, I never got a diamond from any businessman or woman.
So, Mr. Bobulinski, I shift quickly to a text message. Are you familiar with this? It's from a gentleman named James.
Generally, yes.
Yeah, it says, don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you're face-to-face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid. And there's a response saying, okay, they should be paranoid about things. And then there's a response saying, for real. So what is meant by don't mention Joe being involved? It's only when you're face-to-face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid.
Well, I think it outlines how the Bidens operated, not specifically just with CFC. You have Galanis here testifying and numerous other witnesses that have given you a tremendous amount of evidence that outline they worked to obfuscate it.
Okay, so while this is going on, Fox News is doing their little responding.
A couple of things here. Hunter Biden popped into our ears, what, 2 months ago, was it? They're like, Hunter Biden's on Capitol Hill. We're like, what? Then they took the live shot, indeed he was. Maybe that happens today, maybe he doesn't. Abby Lowell calls it all a carnival sideshow. But remember that question there about Jason Smith. What Republicans are trying to show is that there were no services rendered for the money that came in. And that's a big part of what this hearing's out and then intended to do.
At the end of this week, Congress is due to go into recess for another 2 weeks. And I do think that in some ways it just feels like they keep doing the same hearing over and over again. And people are starting to wonder, at some point, do you fish or cut bait? And mm-hmm. do something about a vote or not and move on to the general election?
Okay, so we'll watch it together.
I could never take that guy serious.
Yeah.
He's mumbling and stuttering, all kind of stuff.
He's lightning loafers.
Well, and the Tony Bobulinski, I was watching some of his testimony this morning before the show. I got to go back and watch more of it. He's him and the other guy, they were two of the Biden business partners back in 2014.
Hunter. Yeah. I was watching some of that stuff too. He got some arrogance to him these days.
Yeah. He's mad. He's mad because he feels that with all the evidence and stuff that it's being tossed aside, you know, it's being tossed aside. And
as we always knew, it
would out to dry.
I knew it would be like that. That's what I've been saying from the beginning, man. It's like you guys should have been legislating, doing something to save us instead of wasting every single minute of every day. I swear, every time I saw Comer, it seemed like he said that. I agree with that Fox News lady. Every time he comes on there, he said the same thing. Oh, we got subpoenas now. We're going to get them now. We're going to get them tomorrow. We're going to get them the next day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was months of that. Mm-hmm. Or was it just me? I mean.
No. I mean, if you notice, when the Democrats did their thing to Donald Trump, they came full force.
Yeah.
Even if they had to make the crap up. They came full force with it.
Oh, it was a Hollywood production. Remember him walking over to the Senate?
Every I was dotted, every T was crossed. They did it. And all we've been getting for 3.5 years is that it's coming. It's coming. We got to do this. And look, and I understand about the DOJ and stuff like that, but sometimes you can force your hand.
There's 50 attorney generals out there. There's 50 attorney generals and half of them are Republican.
And you're trying to tell me none of them?
Right. It's only Letitia James and Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg. That's crazy. Just the Democrats can do it. This is how you know the party's a fraud.
Well, that's why Republicans lose. We're not playing the same game. And we don't have the media. There's enough sound clips in these hearings that if the media took it and ran with it like they did with Trump, people would be calling for Joe Biden to be removed.
Can you imagine if the media poll had Walter Cronkite and those older journalists out there, the deep state or
Brinkley
deep
and
Brinkley and
all those guys.
You know, the real 60 Minutes that brought down the tobacco thing. Can you imagine if those journalists were here today with the stuff that was going on? We would trust the media a whole lot more than what we trust now, I tell you that.
Let's take it in perspective. Donald Trump makes a statement that involves the word bloodbath this weekend. It has been nonstop run on the mainstream news for 3 days now. And they're still talking about it. And Joe Biden's going to be talking about it up until, you know, the election. And that was nothing. Any reporter, like we all saw it, like, let's watch a clip. Oh, that's stupid. That's a non-story. But the media runs with it. Meanwhile, you've got Hunter and Joe Biden and Jim Biden's former business partner, who so far, Tony Bobulinski, from all that I've seen, has a pretty impeccable record, who says Joe Biden was part of this business. Joe Biden couldn't be part of that business when he was vice president and not a peep. But you're going to get all the highlights on CNN and crap tonight about Jamie Raskin said this. And oh, here's what Len Barnes said.
And what was the media, the leftist media's headline 2 weeks ago? Trump goes to RNC and creates a bloodbath.
Right.
I remember the word. They used bloodbath is what he was doing at the RNC.
Well, and here's what's really ironic, too, about all this Biden stuff. If they just would have waited till Joe left office in 2017 and did this business, other than Hunter did some sketchy stuff and didn't pay taxes and stuff, Joe would have been fine. They were so goddamn greedy. I stopped it. They were so we can't swear. They were so gosh darn greedy.
I'm gonna start docking you. That's what I was going to start doing.
That's right. But they couldn't wait until 2017 to start this business. I mean, they started it in 2014.
They've been doing this for 30 years.
Right. Well, and then the media doesn't even cover the business. That's all documented now. When you're leading up to electing Joe Biden in 2020, that should have been front page news. Look at him selling influence to all these other countries.
We've got to break this uniparty, man. I mean, it's all geared against us.
Right.
Everything, every professional thing in this country and this government and media is aimed at tearing itself down. No communist China is involved in funding that. Why wouldn't they be? They want our forms.
Break it. Well, I don't know if it's breaking news or not, but the judge is allowing the appeal, the Trump appeal
for
Fannie Willis ruling,
yep.
But will not delay the Trump case. So that was an hour ago from WSBTV, I guess, in Georgia. So there that is.
I just got to say, I'm having fun looking at these follow numbers and seeing the comments. Like, Juanita's like, who watches every day? Comments every day. This show is really hidden in the shadows today. Wow. You got people in the chat saying it's showing four people watching. And Facebook isn't one of our biggest platforms by any stretch of the imagination. They suppress the heck out of us. But we usually get like 100 or 200 or whatnot. I'm watching. We have one of the pages... A video page, 1.1 million people that shows zero people on it.
Right? Zero. Yep.
Like not even one accident.
Is it playing though?
What's that?
Did you see if it was playing?
Yeah, it's playing, right? It's playing on there and it shows some engagements and some likes and stuff, but it's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Facebook's really, they're ramping up for this election, man. I tell you,
they are. And, you know, Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. I know what I was going to say. If y'all want to take this the wrong way, y'all can take it the wrong way, but I have to say it because I've been thinking about it. I don't feel too bad about what's happening to Donald Trump right now because he's helping this happen. He knew the bloodbath was going to cause a certain amount of stuff. And even though he came out and we even had it on the show, he came out and he said, this is what I meant. He knew he was going to get play. Everybody's talking about how much money Joe has and how little money that, Donald Trump has. Donald Trump is getting, great coverage on this. And all he has to do is just come out and either post something on Truth Social or go to a rally and fix it. And then it's video pointed that he corrected himself and he's trashing the media again. I went back and looked at some of the stuff in 2016, his rallies, watched a couple of times. I knew one time that there was a guy tried to rush the stage. I didn't know it was a couple of times. There was another time right before the election that somebody in the and the crowd had tried to rush the stage too. But there was a whole lot of stuff that was going on with those interviews with Donald Trump. And I'm watching, I'm like, okay, he knows this is going to cause some stir. He knows some of the stuff that he says. Yeah, he cursed at his rally over the weekend. He knows people are going to talk about that stuff, but if it's going to get coverage, he's going to do it. And that kind of evens out the money situation. Where
oh, yeah, he's a marketer.
Exactly.
No press is bad press.
I'll tell you, there's
not what to say.
there's a milestone to look for. They're talking about maybe making some confiscatory moves come on Monday. I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if it's a, I'm not 100% sure that that report's accurate, but that's what I was hearing. Yeah. Because he's not, he can't, he went to like 30 different surety companies. He's having problems. I feel bad for the guy. I think it sucks. I mean, this country ought to rebel over this.
In well, now in that regard, I'm with you. I'm with you because, you know, I heard that there's a rich guy who is supposed to be having a rally or something with other billionaires to try to raise some money for him.
Good.
But yeah.
When you got white trash Biden up there laughing about him having trouble paying, it's enough to tick you off.
The guy got a $500 million judgment against him.
For nothing.
What I really get a kick out of people that say he's broke, because he said he's a billionaire and he doesn't. Folks, if you've got $100,000 cash, you're not leaving that in cash. You're going to put that in an asset. If you have $1 billion, it's not like you pull up your Wells Fargo checking account and go, oh, look, I have $1 billion in here. You invest. You put that in things.
I think we're learning, and it sucks because, and maybe this was my stupidity, but it's not really stupid, but you think somebody, if they say that, like Elon Musk, you think Elon Musk has like $45 billion.
I think he's going to lose his ass with these cars.
He is losing his tail with the cars. He is losing his tail with the cars. And the more, and actually, it's almost like he's taking a torpedo to do it, because not only is EV sales gone down, but he's repeating a whole lot of stuff that he's seeing on his media platform and creating more enemies for himself. So
I think his moneymaker is going to be the transhumanist thing.
The robot,
AI, the AI, oh, yeah, and the implanting shift. Things in people's brains.
And that's crazy, too.
I watched a monkey man playing a video game after he put something in his head. Mm-hmm. And it's scary, man. It's not cool.
It is scary. No, it's not. It's not. And I think that we've kind of talked about that on the show, too. Everybody wants to be God. There's only one God, man. There's only one God. The job is taken. And I understand when people will try to talk to you, yeah, but it could cure this and cure that and cure that. Well, guess what?
You really want to live in Star Trek?
Exactly. I mean, do you really want to be 350 years old? Unless they develop something to make you age slower. You know, I mean, can you imagine eating applesauce for about 100 years?
And there's like people that are influential, that Jared Kushner. He's all in on this stuff, man. There's a lot of people, a lot of younger people that think they're the last generation that's going to die.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, it's a story as old as time. I mean, go back. Rich people always look to get richer and more power. And then they always try to figure out how to
live longer
or whatever to live forever. This is not a new cycle in the history.
And they usually don't.
The technology is the new part.
Yeah, it's not worked out so far for any of them. And honestly, it's not worked out well for any of them, because eventually the rich just consolidate the power, then it shifts to control and socialism or whatever. The people revolt and throw them over, and then 1,000 years later, we're back in the same spot.
I think the only way to live longer is to go into space, to tell you the truth. Time, you know. But either way, I mean, I feel bad for that reason, because when you're thinking that Donald Trump is worth billions and billions, you think, well, all he has to do is write a check. But now you're seeing that he can't write a check. So then that layer of invincibility starts hitting you in your head. You're like, okay, he in trouble. He in trouble.
Yeah, but when you look at it, you got to look at it that we're in trouble.
Right.
Because this is illegal, man. This is something that I would have never, if somebody would have asked me 10 years ago, if I ever thought this could happen, I would have said no.
Yeah. And then they're going after, while they're going after him, while they got him tied up. Oh, and by the way, it costs to fly to New York and D.C. and Georgia and Florida.
A lot more than a plane ticket when it's your plane.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, so, but while they got him wrapped up and then the rallies, all that fuel and everything, that costs too. So while they got him wrapped up, they're arresting others. They're arresting people that they got on camera of facial recognition.
And Biden's campaigning.
Yeah. Well,
and the whole premise of their campaign is that they're defending democracy. That's what kills me. We are so intent on saving democracy. We're going to lock up our political opponent. We're going to bankrupt him. We're going to censor your speech on big tech. Anybody that supports him, we're going to target because we've got to defend democracy. It's like, okay. Interesting argument.
Really quick. We have a guest that's getting ready to come on. She's a very busy person. We had her on before. And she won her primary, as a matter of fact. And now she's getting ready for the general election.
Oh yeah.
And it looks like the claws are really coming out after her. So we want to give her a few minutes to let us know exactly what's going on with her. That's wrong. To let us know what's going on with her campaign. Talking about Michelle Morrow. Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
Hey, Wayne. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so glad to see that you took care of things with your primary. What in the heck is going on with the general? What's going on?
Well, I believe that I am a threat to the status quo and to the radical agenda that has been passed down from the U.S. Department of Education. And I'm not afraid to call it out and to push back against it. And the people of North Carolina have really spoken. This was a historic win. And I really consider it a team North Carolina win because it was Republicans as well as unaffiliated voters that came out and said they're ready to get back to safety and academic excellence in our schools and to get out the radical agendas that are not only, you know, causing great division within our communities, but it's also robbing our kids of a future and of academic excellence.
Yeah, Michelle. No.
I was on your timeline earlier, and I saw something about what CNN did to you. You want to explain to the audience real quick?
Sure. So I think it was almost a week ago that they did a hit piece, which is not surprising. But they have been wanting after that to have an interview, and we have just refused because we're not gonna interview with people that are attacking me and saying lies about me and trying to slander me. And so the CNN, actually a couple days ago, my neighbor contacted me and said, you know, there's this truck outside of my house that has New York license plates, and the car appears to be running from like 8:30 in the morning until 4:30. And this is a friend that actually grew up in New York City. And so she said that she really thought this was media personnel. And so, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. Last night we had a GOP convention for our county. And as I was leaving with my friend, it was almost 10 o'clock and we were walking kind of to the back of the parking lot, which is probably not a great place for us to have been parked, but we were completely accosted by these three gentlemen from CNN and shoving microphones and cameras and lights in our faces and not allowing us to get to our car so that we could leave. And thankfully, there were police officers that saw what was happening and escorted them off of the premises. And we were able to get home. But this is what is wrong, honestly, in our country. Why do the people from New York City think that it is their job to come down here and to be messing with an election of a North Carolina superintendent of public instruction? I think they have plenty of their own issues that they need to take care of back home in New York City, if I dare say so.
Yeah, I think the reason is because there's 10 million members of the National Education Association. But maybe, Michelle, I want to ask you something because I think you're on the tip of the spear when it comes to the position that you're running for. Our children are being propagandized to no end. It's not going to turn out well. I wonder, in North Carolina, did the North Carolina Republican Party support your campaign?
Not really. I mean, different GOPs did. And this really was much more of a grassroots effort. But I will say, I have since met with people in the legislature that really want to come together and figure out how we can protect things. Because I'll say, I've had a really great relationship with the Republicans within our General Assembly, because for the last 6 or 7 years, I've actually been going downtown to Raleigh and fighting for laws that are going to protect the freedoms of every citizen in North Carolina, fighting for medical freedom, fighting for, to get back to basics in education, as well as a nurse. I was one of the ones that put out a petition to end the puberty blockers and the hormone replacement therapies and the transgender surgeries that were happening in every main hospital, situation here. We have ECU, we have Duke, and we have UNC. And so we got that law passed. There was one of the many overrides that our conservative General Assembly managed to get done last summer. And so I am hopeful that I'm going to be able to bring people together. I really believe that that is the goal of the left. They have nothing else but to try to divide us and to try to have infighting and mistrust within us as conservatives. And we really need to push against that and focus on what is important for the families of North Carolina, and that is finding solutions to the problems in our school system.
I was going to say, it's been a pleasure to follow your campaign since we had you last on, and congratulations for winning. But as I look at your campaign, it's so common sense. Like, you piloted a farm to school food pipeline so they got better quality food. You're not even saying, like, let's teach religious or right-wing values in school. Let's just take it all out. Left-wing, right-wing, let's teach math and let's teach science.
Right.
And take the gender stuff out and take, you know, if we're going to teach real history, let's teach Barack Obama wasn't always a great guy too. Not just going after one side. Does it just blow you away, the attacks that you're getting for just saying, we don't even want to put a right-wing perspective. We just want to teach people how to add and subtract. Is that just stunning?
No, it's not. Because I ran for school board in 2022 and was viciously attacked and maligned and criticized. And it was 17 days of early voting that was literally just a warfare of people spitting and cursing and threatening and, telling me that my children should be taken from me and all of these, you know, types of tolerant messages that they had to share. And this is where we've come. And I think it's intriguing that you asked that, because I think we can completely attribute this to social media, because people are now living in sound bites and they're living behind a screen and they're, you know, keyboard warriors. People will say things behind a screen that they would never say to somebody when they're face to face. And we recognize that we're doing this to our children at very important developmental stages where they are not learning how to read someone's facial expression or their body language. And they're not learning the impact that they can immediately see when they say or do something to someone, right? We have this protection where we're not understanding the impact of our actions and words. And so I'm not surprised, because I really believe we are in a cold civil war. We have not taken up arms against one another, but it has happened with social media, and it's happened with our regular media, that we have just been hating on people who have differing views. And I want to say, this is what we have to get out of our schools, because the thing that made the United States so strong and prosperous and quite honestly so united was the ability to have civil discourse and logical discussions. And that seems lost. Everything is based on, it's all or nothing. You're either evil or you're good. You're either on our side or you are 100% our enemy and we must destroy you. And that is not a way that we can remain united as a nation.
Before I let you go, and thank you for taking time out of your business, because I know you just got out of something and you probably got to go wrap it into something else. But let our audience know how they can support what you're doing, how they can find you, and I'm going to give you the last thoughts.
Thank you so much. Yes, I truly believe that the biggest threat to our constitutional republic is what's happening in our schools. Children believe any adult that's put in front of them. And it's time for us to make sure that we're telling our kids the truth about history, the truth about civics, the truth about their responsibility, personal responsibility in their actions, in their attitudes, in their work ethic. And so if anybody agrees with that, this is going to be at least $1 million campaign. The mainstream media, as you're seeing, is already giving, you know, free help to my opponent. My opponent is the farthest left-wing radical extremist that they have ever thought about putting up in this position for this role here in North Carolina. And he must be defeated. Otherwise, we are going to have a collapse of our school system, and it will be a collapse of North Carolina. And so if anybody wants to be a part of helping me to defeat this and to get back to when our schools were the safest buildings in the state and our children and our teachers really liked going into the classrooms every day, they can go to my website, which is Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, the number 4NC.com. And if people are in North Carolina, they want to volunteer, they want me to come and speak, I'm happy to do that. You can get to me through there. There's an email where you can contact the campaign and get in touch with me directly.
Well, thank you, Michelle, and keep being busy, and we're trying to get you back on really soon between now and the convention. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.
You too.
Tells me it's your time to speak. Mr. Parnas, the chair recognizes you for equal time that Mr. Bobulinski had, which was 7 minutes.
Thank you. Hello. Honorable members of Congress, Chairman Comer, Ranking Member Raskin, and members of the Oversight Committee, I am humbled and thankful before you to show up before you today. I came to the United States from Odessa, Ukraine in 1976 when it was still the former Soviet Union. My mother and father and sister and I had left the Soviet Union, escaping anti-Semitism and persecution. While in Rome and en route to Israel, my sister and I won the most important opportunity that we have ever been given. We won a U.S. green card lottery. My family came here with literally no more than shirts on our back and the hopes of rebuilding our lives in the land of freedom. I say this to you because I love this country. From shortly after my arrest on October 9, 2019 to now, I have been trying to share the irrefutable truth with you. The American people have been lied to by Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and various cohorts of individuals in government and media positions. They created falsehoods to serve their own interests, knowing it would undermine the strength of our nation. From November 2018 to October 2019, I was a key participant and a witness to numerous efforts to prove that Joe and Hunter Biden were linked to corruption in Ukraine. Rudy Giuliani, on behalf of then President Donald Trump, tasked me with a mission to travel the globe, finding dirt on the Bidens so that an array of networks could spread misinformation about them, thus securing the 2020 election for Donald J. Trump. Ironically, when I was arrested, my original indictment linked me to an individual referred to as Unindicted Co-Conspirator 1. We now know this individual to be Congressman Pete Sessions, who sits on this very committee today. Today, I ask you to consider the following. In nearly a year traveling the world and interviewing officials in different countries, I found precisely zero evidence of the Biden's corruption in Ukraine. No credible source has ever provided proof of criminal activity, not the FBI, CIA, nor the NSA. No respectable Ukrainian official has ever said that the Biden did anything illegal, including former President Poroshenko and former Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko. Even when CEO of Burisma, Mykola Zlochevsky, was offered a deal by Rudy Giuliani in exchange for information on the Bidens, he provided none, because there is none. The only information ever pushed on the Bidens in Ukraine has come from one source, and one source only: Russia and Russian agents. The impeachment proceedings that bring us here now are predicated on false information spread by the Kremlin. Everyone involved knew.
So this bit of a preview right now. This hearing is going to be hot. So stand by for more on that. I want to bring in Jesse Waters right now. He's been sitting patiently to our left.
Bring somebody in from Ukraine and expect something different?
How much money are you going to send out when he leaves the thing?
Is See, it funny?
To me, one of those two guys is lying. Right. And between him and Bob Alinsky, and I think I know which one it is.
Yeah.
But what we need to see in this country is somebody needs to go to jail. Whoever's wrong, whoever's lying, coming up there in front of our Congress and lying about our president, got to go to jail.
Because, as we know, in about 3 or 4 hours, just like the wind passes through the sands of time, you won't see nothing else about this.
Right.
Nothing.
Oh, if you watch the mainstream news other than Fox, all you're going to see is that clip. Oh, see, he blows up their case.
Yeah, and yeah.
Fox is the worst.
Yeah,
and Fox is the worst. And notice, Fox was talking about Comer, and, oh, yeah, well, you know, they're just pushing the same thing and stuff. But when this guy got finished talking, oh, man, this is a bombshell. You know, oh, man, this is going to be something today. All right. Okay. See, I'm telling you. Oh, and Michelle said something about, she said keyboard warriors. They're not keyboard warriors. Keyboard terrorists. That's what we have today. Okay. Now, she's right about, I mean, because, again, all they do is sit in their mom's basement. I heard, Who's he's in the Radio Hall of Fame podcaster conservative.
Hutch Bailey Jr.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Giddy up.
He comes on at night. We like him a lot. He blocked me.
Savage.
Yeah.
Michael Savage.
I love that. He said, I was on his show once.
He was like, you got these keyboard terrorists. They're sitting in their mom's basement, sitting in their filthy underwear, eating Chinese.
He used to be, he gets somebody to call him up. Ah, shut up. You're drunk. Hung up on him. I used to love watching him, listening to him. You remember when he was on TV for about 5 minutes?
Yeah.
He lasted like one episode.
I was going to say he wouldn't be approved.
Yeah.
He was on Fox for like one episode or something like that, and he was gone.
Yeah. But that's the thing. When you have the truth and you don't play the game, they got to get rid of you.
And you know, one of his claims to fame, he was a botanist and did a college tour somewhere in the islands in the Indies or something. I don't know. And he was one of the first on the bandwagon of saying that vaccinations are causing autism in these children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember hearing him say that 20 years ago. And then all of a sudden he started getting harder and harder to find.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, that's what they pinged RFK Jr. for. RFK Jr. just asked that we study if there's any correlation. Because if you ever hear him talk, it's like, if you look at the chart, when we started doing vaccinations and then we started looking at autism rates and things like peanut allergies, there's a pretty direct correlation between the two.
There was never one case of autism in Vietnam until the vaccinations came.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you even just research it and you're labeled as a conspiracy theorist and everything else.
Or peanut allergies.
Or milk allergy. So what's a gluten?
I don't know. I don't know. And I try to stay as far away from it as I can.
Me too.
I never want to know what gluten is.
I like them. I know that, whatever they are.
Right. Do they come with potatoes? I don't know.
Probably do.
You know what I like too that Michelle said is when she said we're in a cold civil war. And I don't think people understand that. I mean, just because the sides aren't shooting at each other does not mean. I mean, there are two.
Watch the children. Watch the children.
There are two radically different ideologies, and they are trying to tear the country apart. And the left is trying to take over. And what's crazy is as soon as they get 51%, they want to slam down all of their opposition, which is
they kill us. They kill us if they could.
Right.
So, I don't know if y'all were going to say anything about it. Looked like the RNC is not going to be paying Scott Pressler.
I saw that.
I wonder who made that decision, Pressler or them?
I think they did. Because he wanted to work. He wanted to work with RNC badly. He did. I knew it because I sent him a text a while ago, you know. So I know he wanted to work with that lawyer.
Harmeet. I don't trust her as far as I can throw her.
And a whole lot of people calling her out on her own timeline, you know. Yeah, you gave money to such and such. You know,
I don't like the way she, I don't like the way she treated Mike Lindell.
Yeah.
That just going back to that whole RNC thing. That was such a clown show.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw it last night. Not a whole lot of people will say. I mean, there's rumors about him, but. I don't think the RNC is taking that tact. You know, they're just saying he's going to be on the ground. He's not going to have a paid role with RNC. So, and you know, I don't have any problem with that.
We can use all the help we can get.
Yeah, I'll be
curious because the phrasing of the stuff I've seen come out, Scott has a nonprofit set up, right. And it sounds like Scott wants to stay working with his nonprofit. So if I had to speculate, if it's nothing nefarious or whatnot, it's probably the rules that he would have to do if he took money from an official political organization. Those laws are different than if you're running just a nonprofit.
That's why I asked the question, did it come from Scott or them?
Right.
Because I saw that same verbiage, and I'm thinking.
Did you see yellow verbiage?
I just saw that one that he has a nonprofit, and I was thinking, does he not want to give up whatever he's doing there to go be an employee for somebody?
Well, there's also rumors too. Those rumors were hitting.
It is nefarious, huh?
Those rumors were hitting out last night. I mean, I learned more stuff than I thought that I knew. I was like, okay, That's how that is. God bless Scott for doing what he does. So, you getting ready to say something about Mike Lindell, Jared?
Just the way Harmeet Dillon told him that she would talk to him if she wins, and then as soon as she lost, she won't. She didn't talk. I don't remember the exact details. She kind of gave him the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
After the
working election. Together. Yeah.
I mean, well, and Mike Lindell is exactly who we need to run the RNC. Mike Lindell's the type of person.
That's what we were saying.
Multi-million-dollar company. It's a multi-million-dollar business.
Even if you just put him in charge of election integrity, but gave him the back of the RNC.
Right.
Gave him the platform.
Yeah. And Rince came out and said something about the RNC. He says, y'all need to raise a whole lot of money in the next 60 days. And basically he laid out certain things that had to be done as if he was still in charge of RNC. But I still think that. Do you see what Michael Steele said? Steele said that Republicans should back Biden.
I don't know what's going on in Maryland. It's as bad as Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Former RNC chairman, Michael Steele.
Panelist on MSNBC or CNN or one of them.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since they kicked him out. Well, they didn't kick him out. He left because they didn't want him to be RNC chairman again because all that money that was being spent, you know, that, I mean, there's some nefarious things that was going on in the RNC while, under him.
Oh, these political creatures, they see Trump as a threat. Trump wants to upend the political system, meaning destroy the status quo where those folks aren't up there serving the American people. And if you're somebody who got into the gig, like, I get to just, you know, I get to enrich myself acting like I serve the American people versus I'm going to go really serve the American people. Yeah, you're not liking Trump. And no, it's just going to, they're just going to keep coming out.
And you got a Ukrainian guy waving an American flag against Trump because Trump's going to stop the war in Ukraine.
Right. Isn't it remarkable, too, how so much of this ties back to Ukraine? Like, it all goes back to Ukraine. You know, Trump impeachment one goes back to corruption in Ukraine. I bet if we ever found out really what was going on in Ukraine, it would just blow up every conspiracy theory we ever knew.
And what you said earlier, Wayne, about BlackRock and all that, there's another organization that thinks they're the government, and they're on the seventh floor of Foggy Bottom at the State Department.
Right.
Yep.
They do things, they don't care what the president says. You could see that in Ukraine. Right. You could see it in Syria. You could see it in Afghanistan. I mean, it's crazy the way these people, they're destroying the nation, and they don't have our best interests in mind.
Yeah. I mean,
about the money.
Yeah, money and power.
Yeah, that power is the thing. But to go back, we got to get ready to go. I just want y'all to take that one, take that one nugget from today's show, is that billions are being spent to stop Donald Trump from being president of the United States. And all we're saying is just give the man a chance. Other presidents have had 8 years to destroy the country each. They were getting it, except for Herbert. They were getting eight years, even if they didn't deserve it. Well, yeah, except for Herbert and Donald Trump. But they got rid of Donald Trump. They didn't get rid of Herbert. Herbert got rid of Herbert with that little
Ross.
With Ross. Ross came up and got rid of Herbert. But they're spending billions to get rid of this guy because the guy just wants to fix things, man. And I think more people see that than they see the crap that, you know, I mean, and, you know, high food prices and high gas prices and stuff like that. Tomorrow is our last day of the week. We only broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We ask you to share what we do. And wherever you watch it, how many people are on Facebook?
Like none.
It's up to 23.
Right. Yeah, the chat was saying we were hitting 28.
Wow. Which,
find another place to watch us, folks. Like, if you're watching on Facebook, find another place to watch us.
Exactly. Right.
They're going to take us out.
Exactly. Please find another place to watch. I mean, right now, X is doing a great job. 6,153 right now.
144 over on Getter. I mean, there's a whole lot of places you can go.
Yeah. And Rumble is close to what? 600, 700. So we ask you, don't just get stuck in, just don't get stuck on one platform. We're on all platforms. Okay. We're on all platforms. Okay. Last thoughts, Jay, then Godfather, and then we're out of here.
All right. Well, hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. Wayne Hutch, great show. Make sure, like Wayne said, share it. Suppression is real. It's only going to get worse by the election. And last thought of the day is, as we interact with people, and it's funny, we started with the call with Carl. These people are brainwashed, and they don't see obvious lies.
They won't.
And yeah. I use the analogy of baseball earlier, and I think that's pretty, for those who are a baseball fan. And it was funny talking to my buddy, and he's like, oh, what's you and the Trump stuff? I'm like, you watched all this stuff in baseball, and you really thought they weren't juiced. Now you look like an idiot. The same thing's happening with this Trump stuff. They're telling you he's going to overthrow democracy. They're telling you he's a threat. They're telling you he's a fascist. You're going to look back and go, God, I was stupid. I hope people realize before it's too late.
Yes, indeed. I've seen some, you know, everything, the speculation is building about who's going to be in Donald Trump's cabinet and things like that. You've got the Washington Examiner came out and said that actually Byron Donalds is on the short list for vice president for them, for the Washington Examiner. They also said they think that Trump is going to pick Kevin McCarthy as his chief of staff. I hope he doesn't do that. I really do. But at any rate, a high note in this discussion, General Flynn responds to possibly working a role in the Trump administration. And he basically says, only under one condition, that I can actually accomplish what needs to be accomplished with government reform. Good answer, General.
Excellent.
I'm hearing Paul Manafort's name.
Oh.
For the convention. So
we'll see.
It's gonna be just a wild ride, boys.
It is.
Yeah, we just don't make. Y'all have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Ava from the New Federal State of China will be on with us tomorrow, so we look forward to that. Fuck y'all, be cool, be great, be lovely. Time to go eat some turkey chili.